مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا، مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear respected and honorable audience, I welcome you back to our program in which I shall be discussing the seerah, the life, the biography of the greatest of mankind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is a saying of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that the one to be closest to me on the day of judgment shall be he who recites the most durood, the most salutations upon me in this world. My dear respected and honorable audience, let's make it a habit to constantly recite and send durood upon the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Now, previously we have spoken about the life, the early childhood of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that his father had passed away when he was yet in the stomach of his mother. His mother had passed away when he was at the age of 6. His grandfather had passed away when he was at the age of 8. And continuing on from there, we reached the approximate age of 25 when he married Sayyidatuna Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was at the age of approximately 40 years. And soon after the marriage, the last episode, we spoke about the life of Hazrat Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu anha, and he was granted as a gift from Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his father's coming and requesting to take Zayd back home, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had left the option to Zayd, who chose over his own father, he chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam had freed Zayd and even adopted Zayd ibn Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Soon after this, we had the reconstruction of the Ka'batul Musharrafa, and we said that it was completely reconstructed approximately 3 times. Now, one thing we need to understand is that the Kaaba was initially a rectangle, and during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did not possess enough material to fully rebuild it as a rectangle, so it became a square. Now, approximately after 80 years or so after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, along with the Quraysh, had reconstructed and rebuilt the Kaaba, another individual, a companion by the name of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he again had reconstructed the Kaaba upon hearing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that if we did possess the material, then I would have made it into a rectangle. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had again changed the Kaaba from a square to a rectangle. So the Ka'batul Musharrafa again was changed to a square. A little about the history of the Kaaba. And during the time of Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, the governor approached him and he said to him, shall we change the Kaaba again into a rectangle? But Imam Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he rejected this and he said, no, we should not. That the Kaaba is not a toy for the kings to come and play with. Meaning, whenever they wish for them to change it into a rectangle or a Kaaba or a square. Now, Imam Malik radiallahu anhu, he says that it is not a toy, it is not something to be played with, it is not a joke, let's leave it as it is. And ever since then, the Kaaba has remained a square rather than a rectangle. Now, these are the only two incidents we come to know of before the first revelation, before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had reached the age of 40. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had reached the age of 40, he received the first revelation. But this did not happen instantaneously. But there were a few signs which had been given beforehand. Now, first thing we need to understand is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a Rasul. A Rasul means a messenger. Similarly, there is another word known as Nabi. A Nabi means a prophet. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is a Rasul and he is a Nabi. A Nabi, a prophet, is that individual who continues the previous message. But those who were granted a book are known as a Rasul. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the age of 40, he was a Rasul, he was a Nabi, just as he was a Nabi before the age of 40. It is not that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he first received the revelation that he became a Nabi, that he became a Rasul. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ever since he was born, ever since he was made, ever since he was created, he says, كُنْتُ نَبِيًّا وَآدَمُ بَيْنَ الْمَاءِ وَالطِّينِ. And similarly, وَآدَمْ بَيْنَ الْرُوحِ وَالْجَسَدِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I was a prophet at that time when Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was between the ruh, the soul, and his body, or between ma, water, and soil. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always a Nabi, he was always a Rasul, a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he was 40 years of age is when he first received the revelation. Now it is stated that upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's reaching the age of 40, now he began to see many miraculous or extraordinary things throughout his life. One is that whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sleep, he would see the occurrences of the next day within that sleep. Meaning, when he would be sleeping, then he would have a dream, and through his dream he would know everything that was to occur the next day. And similarly, this happened the next day when he would learn about those things which would occur the day after. These would be told to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream, in order to get away from all the sins which would occur or which would be performed by the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would climb what is known as Jabal al-Nur, the mountain of light, the mountain of Nur. And within the Jabal al-Nur, there is a cave called Hira. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go to this same cave and he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this cave. Now we have mentioned before, for those of you that may remember, that Hazrat Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would also go to the cave of Hira and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his father and the whole lineage, his grandfather, etc., they were all believers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the one God. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would spend many nights there, sometimes only one night, sometimes two nights, sometimes three, or even more. Now in order to gain food and sustenance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would sometimes climb back down the mountain and go home to get the food. But many times Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she herself would take food, climb the mountain, and present this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No doubt she possessed great love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be climbing up such a high mountain. Many of us may have seen or been up there nowadays. Nowadays we have steps, and even then it takes us approximately an hour or so to climb up the mountain. But in them days there were no steps and it was extremely difficult, especially for a woman of the age of Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha. She married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the age of 40. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25. 15 years later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also became the age of 40. Meaning, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha, she was at the approximate age of 55, and yet she would climb the mountain and present this food to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa taala bless her even more and raise her rank in the akhirah. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam would do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his own way. At this time the five salah were not gifted to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the ummah, neither was it obligatory for any of the Muslims to perform the five daily prayers at this time. When the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam was busy worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that an individual, he came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was upon this mountain in this cave worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is his time to himself. And this individual, he came and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Iqra, read. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam had replied, Ma ana biqari. And then again that individual says, Iqra, the read. Again the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives the same reply. He says, Ma ana biqari. And it said that then this individual, he takes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his arms and he squeezes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam very tightly and then says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created. And this is the first revelation of the Holy Quran, the first revelation to be given, to be revealed to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and this was the message of read. This no doubt expresses the importance that seeking knowledge of the religion is extremely important within our religion of Islam. So we should attempt to seek ilmi deen, seek knowledge of the religion, go out in search of knowledge, as the first revelation of the Quran was Iqra, to read. Now there were approximately five ayat which were revealed at this time. Firstly, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your Lord who created. خلق الإنسان من علق. He who created man from a congealed clot of blood. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. Read, and your Lord and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous. الذي علم بالقلم. He who had taught man how to write with the pen. علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. He who had taught man what he knew not. So this was the first revelation of the Holy Quran which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received or attained through this individual. Now this individual was Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam himself. It is stated that upon feeling or upon receiving this revelation, that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam had then went towards his house and he saw Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, and it is stated that he said, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam was, in a way you could say, frightened, because this revelation is extremely strong and it is heavy. If the Quran had been revealed upon a mountain, then the mountain itself would turn to dust. So no doubt this was extremely strong on the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, and it was very, very heavy and very difficult to take upon himself. So the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam would feel this upon himself. And then it is said that Hazrat Khadijatul Kubra radhiyallahu anha, subhanallah, she consoles the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The words she uses are beautiful. She says, Kalla, never, O Messenger of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall never humiliate you. Innaka la tasil al-rahim. That you are that individual who brings relationships together. You join relationships. You always speak the truth. And you take other people's burdens upon yourself, and you give to the poor, and you are also very hospitable to your guests. How will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not help you? How can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ever humiliate you? No, O Messenger of Allah. It is said that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam throughout the next 23 years received the revelation which we find in the form of the Quran, but there were many different ways in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received the revelation. One method of revelation is, as we had seen, that a being came to the Prophet ﷺ and had squeezed the Prophet ﷺ. So this was one method of revelation. When an individual would come, sometimes in the form of a man, and many a time when he does come in the form of a man, is mentioned that he came, that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam came in the form of Hazrat Dahya Qalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and an extremely beautiful and extremely handsome companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much so that whenever he would be walking by, people would turn to him and they would continue to look at him. And so much so that they would not be looking at that which is ahead of them. This is how beautiful and handsome this companion was. So this was one form in which Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam would come to give the revelation to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. So one method is to come in the form of a man. Another method was for the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam to actually see Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam himself. And the scholars have stated that the Prophet ﷺ had seen Jibreel alayhi salam many times. But in the true form of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam possessing 600 wings, being extremely huge, that the Prophet ﷺ only saw Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam during his lifetime twice in his actual form. Subhanallah. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam too, no doubt, extremely beautiful. Another way the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would receive his revelation, it is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari that Hazrat Harith ibn Hisham radiallahu ta'ala anhu sa'ala nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kayfa ya'tika al-wahyu. He would ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how is it that the revelation comes to you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had replied that sometimes an angel would come to me with the voice of a ringing bell, Sulsalatil Jaras. And then the angel would leave and I would remember everything this angel would have said to me. وَهُوَ أَشَدُّهُ عَلَيَّ. And this was the most severe or the most difficult upon me. Another, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions again in Sahih Bukhari, and sometimes the angel will come in the form of a man, فَيُكَلِّمُنِي فَأَعِي مَا يَقُولُ, and then he would speak to me, and I would remember everything this angel had told me. So this is two mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari itself. Another stated by the scholars is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just as we've understood or heard that the Prophet ﷺ would receive the revelation by means of an angel or sometimes even an angel in the form of a human, but sometimes there would be the revelation without any medium whatsoever, meaning directly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal upon the Prophet ﷺ without any medium, without any messenger, without any angel. And the Prophet ﷺ would carry or would take upon himself this revelation. Now this revelation is, as I mentioned before, extremely strong. It was very intense even. So much so that once it is mentioned the Prophet ﷺ was riding upon a camel when he received the revelation, and that camel, a camel normally being very strong and able to lift, you know, so much kg, this camel had actually dropped and it felt the burden of the wahi, but no doubt it did not feel the burden of the wahi itself, because that burden the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taken upon himself. The camel had only felt a little of the strength of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was once resting upon the lap of one of the companions radhiyallahu anhu, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received the revelation at this time, and this had affected the companion. He felt so much pressure that he said, I had feared that my thigh was about to break. This is the amount of pressure he felt. And Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha would also state that whenever the Prophet ﷺ would receive this revelation, there would be so much pressure upon him that even during the coldest of nights, the Prophet ﷺ would be sweating, he would sweat so much, and he would be extremely hot during these cold nights. So from this we can imagine, or you know, just gain a fraction of an understanding of how much pressure would be upon the Prophet ﷺ when he received this revelation. So these were a few methods as to how the Prophet ﷺ would receive the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of an angel or without any medium itself. Coming back to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha, "Wrap the shawl around me. Wrap the shawl around me." Why? Because this had affected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a lot, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was trembling and he was feeling cold at this time because of the effects of this revelation and what had come upon him, what he had seen. Now, upon telling Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha, no doubt Hazrat Khadija radhiyallahu anha, she had consoled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and immediately accepted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She did not reject him whatsoever, but she reassured him, and she was the first woman to have accepted Islam. Now, Hazrat Khadija, upon listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon hearing everything that had occurred, so Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha, she went to see a relative of hers by the name of Waraqa bin Nawfal. Now Waraqa bin Nawfal was one of a very few, it is stated only 3 or 4 individuals during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before the first revelation granted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was approximately 3 or 4 individuals within Makkah al-Mukarramah and the surrounding areas that had believed only in one God. From amongst these, the most eldest and senior from amongst these was an individual by Waraqa bin Nawfal. Another individual went by the name of Zayd ibn Amr ibn Nufail, and similarly Amr ibn Huwayrith. It is also stated about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiyallahu anhu, who we shall come to speak of later on inshallah, that he had also throughout his whole life never worshipped or bowed down to an idol. Now when Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radhiyallahu anha, she had taken the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Waraqa bin Nawfal, who had also accepted Islam, it is said that Waraqa bin Nawfal had asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a few questions, and then he had said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that without doubt that indeed this angel that came to you is the same that came to Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. And then he continues and he says that by Allah, I wish I was to remain alive when your own people shall humiliate you, when they shall criticize you, and when they shall exile you. So after meeting Hazrat Waraqa bin Nawfal radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam had then returned back to his own home and he had continued to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. But dear respected and honorable audience, unfortunately time has again got the better of us and we must finish here. But inshallah, from our next episode, we shall continue the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam and the next revelation which the Prophet ﷺ had received. But for now, continue to send salutations and durood upon the Prophet ﷺ. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan. Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala Habib. خير الخلق كلهم.